This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of Summer House Hive. I am your host, Lara Marie Shane Halls, and I'm here with a friend of the pod and host of her own podcast, The Cast with Jaquise and Ray. I literally almost forgot as you just told me the name, but I didn't, and I got it.
I'm glad.
Ray Sani.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being here.
I had a blast last time.
Same. I'm excited to listen to your podcast because you're talking all about the challenge, right?
Well, yeah. So I have.
Or is that do?
So I have one podcast with my partner Jaquise Neal where we recapped the last season of the challenge, and then we migrated over to the HeadGum Network, where now we have a podcast called The Cast, where we're based on clips of like these really impactful moments in reality TV history. We're sort of putting together the cast, the greatest cast of reality characters of all time. And so we're like identifying clips, looking at them, identifying players, and inviting or offering spots on our quote-unquote cast team people
those
clips.
Amazing. Who are some of the people that have been like your primo cast members so
far? Our first episode, for example, we discussed that infamous clip from Flavor of Love where Pumpkin spits on New York. And so
I'm so glad that you're talking about Flavor of Love.
Yes.
Because that show got me through revisiting that show, because I watched all of them when they were on,
of course,
but the revisit got me through like the last part of last year.
Yes,
in such a real way.
It's actually absurd what was on television in 2005, like 2006. Mm-hmm. It is actually insane, and it was really fun to revisit, though. It was like,
yeah,
I'm secretly delighted in getting to watch this like absurd thing that could never be possible today. Like, never, absolutely not.
No, like, Pumpkin, like, that legacy of hers is only would work in the early aughts.
Oh, no,
and then
seriously.
Now, like, she would just she would have to die.
You
couldn't. You couldn't do it.
You can't spit on a black woman, and you certainly cannot call her all kinds of slurs for trans people in 2021. And I'm grateful for that. But it was exciting to discuss that moment and with our like grown up eyes and identify who matters to reality TV, what their impact was, and why we needed to have them on our cast. You know.
So yeah. Fun. What do you think of New York, like, coming away from all of that? Like, are you still, like, a huge New York fan?
Oh, absolutely. I think she's a genius. Yeah. I think she's, like, I don't know if she knows what she was doing or what if she foresaw what she was creating when she was making Trouble on Flavor of Love, or if she was just, like, I'm in this to get as much attention as possible. But she really, like, introduced a genre of person to me. Like, I have never seen anybody like that in my life. There's no way I would come across such a woman. And now, not only has she been introduced to me, but, like, there are spinoffs of New York, the character, on all sorts of reality TV shows. And it's just astonishing because before 2005, I didn't know you could be her, you know?
Yeah, she is a trailblazer. Mm-hmm. And I honestly think that she was so ahead of her time.
It's like crazy.
If she had come around today, like started kind of what she was doing then today, I feel like she would have blown up even more.
Oh,
like I feel like she's still so niche famous in terms of everything.
Oh, absolutely.
And it makes me pissed.
Right.
Because I'm like, I need her to have a music career. I need her. Like, she would have been like Cardi B. Cardi B basically did the New York.
If she had been around for Twitter, different ball game, completely. I mean, she's thankfully via GIFs, she's made her way to like Gen Z, but like Gen Z did not have Flavor of Love in real time. So, I mean, they probably would have found it extremely problematic, but they would not have gotten to fall in love with those characters. And, I mean, trailblazers and pioneers rarely ever get credit for founding anything. But, like, you know, the New York kind of Omarosa character was, like, and they're not even that similar. I just did a racist thing. So, but, like... But just, you know, the villainess who is the reason anyone tunes in wasn't quite what it was before New York kind of showed up, because before then I had been trained to hate the bad guy, I think, on reality TV. And New York was the first time I was cognizant that I was rooting for the bad guy and like enthusiastically. And now I'm stuck loving Kenya more when it's loathsome to do so.
No, I worship at the feet of Tiffany Pollard, and I wish her nothing but continued success. And I hope that someone like I know she has her Brunch with Tiffany show on VH1, but I need like a full investment and like a reboot of like a show. Like New York Goes to Hollywood was
awesome. Even show with Taylor Made, like when they got engaged, it was like, fuck, there was that show.
Oh, did they there was New York Goes to Work, but
yes,
I
maybe he was just on of, them maybe he was
yeah,
just on
he
them.
Appeared he appeared on New York Goes to Hollywood briefly so they could fight and like break up.
Yes,
he catches her rehearsing a scene with her acting school.
Oh, do you remember those stupid scenes?
So
stupid.
Hot, yeah. Amazing. But yeah, and then there was New York Goes to Work, which I didn't love as
no
much,
it was just
it like,
formulaic. Yeah, VH1 was just like, okay, we have a cash cow, let's just, it's cheap to make reality shows, we're gonna get a good investment on her. But then somebody on I Love Megan or whatever killed someone, and then we had to dead that whole like genre of reality. Woo!
It's so fucked up.
It's so
I know,
crazy.
And now we're
now so we now we're all stuck with Bravo.
We could have lived in 20 seasons of I Love Money, which
exactly.
I would have.
Exactly.
I needed that.
It would have been the challenge on steroids. And but unfortunately, that dude was psycho. And so, you know, here we are.
Murder really throws a wrench into things. It affects so many people.
It sure does. It's really annoying, you know, dude. Like, I wanted
it's deeply
to.
Deeply annoying.
It's like, oh, you're so, like, selfish, dude. Like, what?
Yeah, think about the fans for 1 second in your life. So let's get into this episode of Summer House. A lot is going on. I feel like, how long have you been watching Summer House? Have you been ahead from the beginning, or
so
what's been your journey?
My journey with Summer House is I'm sure you know of, and you're friends with them, the Watch What Crappens podcast. So yeah. I was listening to them like way back, and there were a lot. I liked the podcast so much that I wouldn't even be watching the shows. I just wanted to hear them talk about this nonsense. And the way they would talk about Summer House first season, like the first kind of 3 or 4 episodes, I was like, look, I might have to like watch all these white kids like on this like Hampton show. You know what I mean? Like, this sounds insane. And it's crazy because so I went to Princeton for a little bit. I'm a dropout. And so I haven't really engaged with people like this since like 2009, 2010. And so I had forgotten how absurd, like, wealthy Upper East Side New York young people could be. And it was such a fun yet distant enough like re-engagement with that kind of person persona. Like, Carl and Lindsay are such exact types for me, and like I'm having a blast. And even the Workus twins and all that, like first season, like I knew those girls and I knew that guy and I knew those people. I even remember hanging out on Montauk with one of my like college friends like not too long before that, and I was like, yes, this is exactly what this feels like. Yeah
so it filled that void without like
thrusting me back into that, you know. Like, I'm still a black person, you know. God bless Ciara's crazy ass this season. You would not find me in that house, you know what I mean? But like, you know, it was so, but I do enjoy it. I love seeing people be crazy and wealthy and irresponsible if you include youth, and it's just fun as hell.
Yeah, and I'm loving, I like the fact that they're all losing their minds during coronavirus and we get to then watch them, because I feel like everyone did that on their own.
Yes.
Like, I know I definitely did it, but it was like the only person that really got to bear witness to it was my dog, because it's like, who else is around,
right?
But now we get to watch them, so it feels cathartic in
isn't it. Like, it's so fucked up because I spend so much time loathing Hannah Berner, the character. I don't want to say I don't know this person, so I don't hate her, but I spend so much time loathing her character, and I'm like, if anybody put hidden cameras in my apartment all of last summer, I'd be behaving the exact same way and we'd all hate me just as much, you know? So like,
yeah, I give her the COVID pass ultimately, because I'm like, I don't think that she is as insufferable in real life as she is on this show.
I'm sure she's playing a character as well.
Yeah, it's reached like peak capacity. I'm caught up like on all the episodes now. So I'm like, Hannah, I don't think you can actually get any worse than you currently are.
Yeah.
But the great thing about Bravo is that whenever you think they've hit rock bottom, there's always a floor that can drop out.
Oh my God, yes. And there's always worse that someone can be in a surprisingly entertaining way, or there's someone always, especially on a show like Summer House, and this is what I love about Bravo. Like, Bravo wants to present me a hero and villain often. There's always a Kyle, and then there's like a Lindsay or a Carl or a Luke, right? But I have like the joy of Bravo usually casting well enough that I can ignore their designations or archetypes and find heroes and villains and everybody. So like, Lindsay's nut job self is my favorite character on this show.
My favorite. She scratches every itch for me.
Exactly.
And like, everything she does, I love it and I laugh at it.
Exactly.
And I think she's just a true professional who's very good at her job.
Can you, like, it is, It is not my desire to be Lindsay at all. God knows I do not want to be Lindsay Hubbard.
No.
But I am, like, embarrassment is my greatest fear. And I never want to be capable of embarrassing myself and, like, getting over it as well and quickly as Lindsay does. But I admire the hell out of it. Like, we're just going to bug out on TV and, like, wake up the next morning and be like, all right, new activities. And that's it.
She shakes it off and then is just like on to the next.
Yes.
And then gets weirdly very like professional about things. Like, especially in this episode, it begins with her crying to Danielle about Strabby. She doesn't even know he's left yet. She's just like weeping about their date gone wrong. Which, what was your take on the date? Like, were you offended by it? Did you think it was perfectly fine?
No. I get what he was getting at. And when you take into account the fact that he did have paintings to present her later, it sounds like Lindsay overreacted. But in the moment I was with her, it's like, dude, like, you got us delivery and you, like, put a table outside, bro? Like, I'm trying to have babies. Exactly. Like, you got me English food and I'm trying to have children in 3 years. You know what I mean? Like, we're not doing this, you know? And so, like, I was, like, with it. It was just, like, they both knew what partner they were pursuing, and they foolishly pursued someone they did not belong with. And I don't know why either of them insisted upon that relationship to begin with, because it didn't feel like when we met him last season, he like swept her off her feet. It was like Carl just embarrassed her. She had to do something. And
she had to get out of there and get with like a more stable guy. And I think that they have like a sexual attraction that can't be denied, but it maybe should have just been left at like, we can fuck every once in a while and then.
And I mean, I'm only a year younger than Lindsay. And so I genuinely do not feel any distress about children. I think I want some where I want some. And so it stresses me out to see her racing against time that way. And so I suddenly take on her anxiety about her biological clock when I don't. And so now I'm like, Steven, there's a track we're on here. And I'm like, what the
hell? I literally have been like, I need to freeze my eggs. Like, I'm about to like Google it this week and try and like figure that out. No, because I was like,
someone definitely suggested it last week to me. They were like, have you thought about this too? And I was like, dude, man, like, Lindsay's making me really want to though. Like,
yeah,
I don't, it's absurd, but
yeah, I love her so much. I'm the painting. To me, getting that kind of painting really wouldn't do much for me. Like, I'd rather just have, like, a, you know, beautiful flower arrangement or, like,
but
a more expensive kind of romantic gift.
But did you see Lindsay's hair in her most recent confessional look? Like, that's someone who wants something that absurd.
Yeah, I think she would like that.
Yes.
And then, but I think he also needed to have another more expensive thing. Like, I think she was going to be really upset if that was
it.
Yeah, I was like, that doesn't look like it costs enough money.
Okay, fair enough. Although, I mean, I don't know, how much are commissioned paintings of your girlfriends going for these days? You know what I mean?
Like, it's tough
absurd.
To say. If you've got like a really good artist, maybe it is more expensive, but it's also something I feel like you could outsource on Etsy
for not that much. Or like, what do the young kids do? They'll literally just take a picture and make it look inky on a computer program and then print it out or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. And then you like go to Shutterfly.com.
Yes, exactly.
Upload the JPEG and then 2 weeks later a canvas arrives in the mail. Don't tell Lindsay.
Yeah.
I loved how emotional Kyle got about Strabby leaving.
It is absurd. It is absurd. It is weird because usually someone so literally childish like behaves like an a 10-year-old? Like, is as emotionally, like, unstable as a child? Is as needy? Is, like, as weirdly attached to his male friendships and, like, you know, needs a mommy and his girlfriend? Like, he would normally annoy the hell out of me, but I find him insanely adorable and charming. I don't
me too.
Know what it is.
He's won me over in the past, like, couple seasons, because
yes.
I was so turned off by Kyle at first. I was just like, I can't with this person.
Well, and then he won me over immediately, but then when he started treating Amanda poorly, he wore me out. But, like, telling Stassi she looked like Tim Cook was like, or Steve Jobs was perfect
Steve Jobs.
For me. Was
yeah,
perfect.
I could rewatch that scene, like, over and over
yes.
because she really needed to be, like, insulted
humbled.
Right
yes,
to her face.
Like, yes. because she, like, and I remain the only person who is never in my, like, orbit, I think. Never once found her, like, amusing or likable. And so, like, mm-hmm. this was at the height of Stassi, like, having left the show, but Lisa really wanting her to come back and, like, everybody loving the villainess that is Stassi and me for some reason not. But, like,
yeah,
it was, like, it was at the height of her being terrible. And so, like, watching Kyle, this, like, dork from New York, just tell her fashion made her look like Steve Jobs was, it was amazing. It was amazing because she was feeling herself. She just, like, rolled over from, like, terrorizing Sheena for a season, and here comes Kyle being like, you're in a turtleneck bathing suit, babe. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, and you know that she was so excited to being, like, called in to
yeah.
help, like, the backdoor pilot
yes,
of Summer
exactly.
House, and, like, Sheena's the Workus twins, and then it was a humbling moment for the ages.
Yeah, it was great. It was fantastic.
I was shocked to see that Lindsay is not on to, like, that flashback where she was like, and I'm not on birth control. And I was like,
you reckless.
Wow, you're really moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it is, I mean, I don't know what they're doing, like, how they're investing their money or whatever, but I'm never financially comfortable enough to wing it on birth control, man. Like, I need a budget and a plan. She's crazy. I don't know how
yeah.
much she's pulling in from them Instagram posts. She was very confident, though. You know what I mean? She just knew they were not going to stop. She's like, look, kids, good food. I don't want fish and chips. She wants, like, Chilean sea bass. She doesn't want cod. She doesn't want beer battered cod. What were you doing, bro?
No. Like, to just even think that would travel appropriately
yes,
and then still be delicious after getting delivered is, like, where's your head at?
Also, did you take Lindsay for a fish and chips girl? Like, I did not at all. She strikes me as, like,
no.
a not into heavy kind of soul comfort food. She likes me as, like, a salad at dinner kind of person, to be honest.
Yeah, salad at dinner and then maybe, like, pasta, but if you're out at a restaurant
yeah.
for a special occasion.
Exactly. It's always gonna be cacio pepe. It's never gonna be, like, penne alla vodka or something like that. It's just gonna be, like, a little swirl, just like a skinny pile of angel hair or whatever.
Yeah, small portions
yeah.
only. Also, it's like she's wearing a dress where basically the entire top of her torso
no,
is exposed.
She's literally
and I don't think
in
you
want
to be gorging yourself on fish and chips in
literally
an outfit like that.
Oil all over. Like, she would, like, what? She's gonna just wipe her hands on her velvet strips across her titties? Like, what the fuck, bro? Like, what were you doing?
Yeah.
What was he wearing? They were dressed for different events. Like, she was going to the Grammys and he was just going to, like, an after work retirement party or whatever. It was, like, absurd.
Yeah, he was in a happy hour
yeah.
mentality.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was very Grammy. She was J Lo.
She was
on the red
Versace'd
carpet
out in that backyard, you know? I would be humiliated if I, like, packed. She packed that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she was like, our anniversary's gonna be on TV this year. I'm gonna put strips together and put my body out. Like, she packed that. Somebody styled it. She had accessories. Like, she had a mood board and shit. And he showed up in a black top with fish and chips. Dirty slaps everywhere. Like, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah, it was unacceptable. And also, even just down to the flowers that he gave her, where she was like, I think as soon as he opened the door to the Danielle's bedroom, she knew in her heart of hearts that it was not going to go anywhere good.
I'm... Like, what, girl, like, that was the moment for you to be like, yeah, I'm not marrying this dude. I don't even know why you tried to eat that meal, girl. Like, like, you're not getting married. Like, what are we doing here?
She barely tried. I think she, like, put those fish and chips on her plate to, like, very much show him how, like, kind of they were globbed together in such a way. And, like, I liked her just, like, really sticking it to him throughout that entire thing. It was to show him how much he fucked up.
It was a lot. But then I feel bad because she's older than he is. I get the sense that she enjoys a lot of the control in that relationship, and it's uncomfortable to watch. He's like 30. It's not that big an age difference, but I think it's significant when you think about her sense of urgency versus his.
Yeah. Interesting. I didn't know that he was younger than her.
Only by a couple of years. Yeah.
How do you feel about Luke playing his guitar?
I don't feel about Luke. Like,
he's not the one.
I don't know where this resentment from Luke has come from, because I didn't care. I don't care about him, really. But he really bothers me because there's something very infuriating. Like, everybody who does reality television is successfully choosing a persona for presentation on camera. But it looks so effortful on Luke. It's like every week he's choosing, like, a different hot teen movie actor to be every week. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, he's just on like his third iteration of Josh Hartnett in like Oh or some shit. And I'm just like over it. Like, it's so weird. It's just like, you're already gorgeous. And I know, like, whatever, maybe he's having that thing that hot people have where it's like, take me seriously, I have an interior. And it's like, okay, like, fine. He's working through it, but it's just like, stop stressing me out while you're doing it. Like, this guitar shit is just very, like, hard on my spirit. Like, stop singing at me on TV. I don't need it. You're more than just your face, okay?
We get it.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Seriously.
Yeah. And also, it's sad that he's bad at everything.
Yes.
Like, everything he does is bad. So I'd rather him just be, like, hot and vacant than hot and trying all these things and failing at them and making me feel uncomfortable
in
the process.
Like, and the way that he's looking for depth is so, like, contrived and cliche. It's just like, oh, I'm in an intense romantic platonic situation with a woman that I don't find beautiful. What am I meant to do? And here is a beautiful woman. It's like, this is not a new conflict, bro. Like, you're a hot dude who wants to fuck a hot chick, but you like spending time with one who's not model-esque. This is not special. Carl does this every season.
So do you think that, like, Luke and Hannah, what do you make of that situation? Do you feel like they were dating and he's just not being, like, honest with it? I feel like he's kind of dumb and, like, he just doesn't really know what he's doing and how it hurts people.
I don't want to give him that much benefit of the doubt, but I also am kind of just like, there's no way that Hannah's this naive, because I'm a stand-up comic. She says she's a stand-up comic, and it's like, well, if you've been a funny girl your whole life, then you know that, like, hot guys will waste your time because they like your attention and they like, if you're funny or interesting, they feel less bad about it. It's like, oh, I actually enjoy her company. And it's like, this has been happening to me since, like, literally the summer after fifth grade. Like, Hannah, get it together. Like, There's no way you don't know what it's like for a tall, handsome boy to enjoy your company but not want to fuck you. Like, come on, girl. Stop making this, like, this, you know, 14-year-old drama my 34-year-old business. You know what I mean? Like, stop wasting everybody's time.
But she really bounces back so quickly with Dez. I'm like, how affected were you really by this whole Luke situation?
That's, like, interesting to me. I worry for Dez because as obnoxious as it is for Luke to probably sense it, it's like, girl, you're definitely using this guy. Maybe you fell in love while you were, you know, using him to get over Luke, but you did start off being disappointed he wasn't another person, and that's a rough situation.
Yeah, like, how is Dez? I wonder if they've watched this series together because they're engaged now. Which, yeah, I didn't really realize. I literally didn't know that was real because I wasn't caught up to the show at that point in the show when she posted that on Instagram.
She literally, like, oh, thanked Luann on her post, and I was like, what? Because Luann commented, and Luann, and she's like, you know, you are the reason this happened. And I was like, there's no fucking way any of this is real. I know 2020 has led into a bogus 2021, but I'm not taking this shit serious. And it was serious.
How did they, did Luann introduce them?
I think it's like they partied on the in the Hamptons with Luann's or something like that. I mean, I'm sure, like, whoa, they were all drinking.
I'd like to be a fly on the wall.
What the hell are Luann and Hannah Berner talking about? Like, what the hell are they talking about?
I can't
about?
Even imagine them in the same room as
no.
each other.
No. And there's, like, a whole photo of them hugging so tightly. And I was just like, this is so absurd. Like, there's a fun aunt, but I just did not picture Luann being Hannah's fun aunt. That doesn't seem like the fun aunt, fun niece combination that I was expecting.
Yeah, I don't expect that at all. Mm. Wow. Lindsay has the saddest birthday maybe of all time. And she comes upstairs. Kyle tells her that Strabby has gone home. Mm-hmm. Like, and I love Lindsay goes, what, am I supposed to cry about it? I don't care.
Not the reaction I was expecting at all. She's like, what am I supposed to do? And she's plastered. She's slurring.
Shit face.
And does not. And I was like, no, you're drunk enough to make, like, you're drunk enough to give me the cry I was expecting. But she was also drunk enough to not give a fuck until the next day. And it was surprisingly delightful.
And I love, like, the sad birthday shots that everyone brought out. She's like, I want to enjoy my birthday. And then they're like, happy birthday. And then she took a shot and she was like, that is delicious. And I was like, whoa. And she's so drunk. And you know that she's fucked up because she asked Hannah to spend the night in her bed.
Yeah,
her.
I was like, oh, yeah. You're feeling plastered and needy. And if Hannah wanted to finger her, she totally would have been into it, I feel like.
Yeah, I think that she would have accepted the finger and, like, also, like, let it happen on TV just to teach Strabby a lesson.
She is brilliant enough to do that.
But, like, you know you're drunk when you're inviting someone that you don't even like.
Like, you're just like, please.
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
And also the person you literally were bullying into being the father of your children 5 minutes ago has, like, left your quarantine situation and you don't give a shit. That you are drunk as hell.
Amanda apologizes to Hannah really quickly before she goes to bed.
I was like,
you're the bigger person in this situation. To me, it seemed like Amanda was the bigger person in this situation needlessly because Hannah, to me, was the one at fault.
And I don't understand. I mean, I guess maybe, you know, Amanda doesn't want to have an awkward situation in the house. She probably hated it when it was like Lindsay hating her. She probably hated it when it was like Kyle embarrassing her, humiliating her over and over. She probably just doesn't want another uncomfortable summer. But it's just like, I don't see the value of this friendship to Amanda at all. It's not like, I don't get the sense that Hannah respects her. And based on the footage that we're all watching, it doesn't seem like Hannah's a good hang or is bringing any fun to the summer. So I just don't understand Amanda's investment. She's marrying Kyle. Hannah's her coworker. I don't understand the need to make Hannah feel better.
No, and it was so bizarre, like, later on in the episode when Hannah and Kyle are going at each other, and Hannah's like, you disinvited me from your wedding, from one of my favorite people. And she's like, talking about Amanda as though she didn't just tell her, like, you're not my friend, you're a toxic friend.
Exactly.
Like, 24 hours prior.
But also, like, I don't care what we're arguing about. If you don't bring up my relationship, I mean, it just isn't relevant. Like, Kyle can do whatever he wants to me. No, he cannot do whatever he wants to me. But if I've made the decision to be engaged to somebody and believe in their growth, it is not your place to bring that up when they're having a legitimate concern with you. There, like, it is pure deflection, and it's very disrespectful because it required you putting down your friend to successfully put down who you think your opponent is. And who, like, why is the collateral damage worth it?
Yeah. And I think also, like, Hannah is not even that good at, like, the deflection.
No.
She ends up being the one that looks even worse.
Yeah.
In the situation.
It's transparent. You're bugging out. You, like, it's fascinating because the way Hannah argues, it's almost as if she's never encountered someone smarter than she is before. And I don't know why that is so. Like, why would you have, spent your whole life not encountering people who would argue with you and poke a hole in your logic? Like, you're almost 30, girl. Like, how did that happen? How are you so thrown off? It's so confusing. It's like, oh, someone won't be manipulated by me? I'm furious! And I'm just like, what? Okay.
Also, just take out the trash.
It's not that serious. Like, do you know how embarrassed I would be if someone was accurately calling me a pigsty on national television and I made it about his fiance? That's crazy. That
no,
is absurd.
I would be like,
take out the fucking
I'm
trash.
I'm so sorry that I didn't take out the trash.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do that right now. And like,
why are we?
Are you going to finish your lobster bowl?
Yeah,
like, I was like, I'll eat what you didn't eat.
It's like, why are we arguing for your right to be a slob? Like, this is what we're arguing for. This is absurd.
Yeah. And like later on in the season, because Kyle also brings up a point about like Sierra, where he's like, I love that girl, but like, has she done a single dish in the entire time she's been here? And I'm like, you just like, just pitch in. Like, I'm always, I feel like I'm always conscious about like, I hope that I'm trying to like clean something, or if I'm staying with friends in an Airbnb, back when we all used to do that kind of shit. It's like, I just don't want to be the person that's like the lazy Hannah of the situation,
right?
Not pulling my weight.
And the last thing I would do is be new to a situation and be the messiest. Like, Sierra is bold as hell for that. Bold
her
as hell. It her
haunts
room,
me.
Her room
on a continual basis.
The thing is, though, like, it stresses me out twice as much because I know that my room would look like that if I were like this person. Like, my physical space always reflects my mental health. So if like my apartment is messy, it's because I'm going through some shit. And if I were stuck in a house with like Hannah and Luke, my room would look like what the inside of my head should look like, and Sierra's room looks exactly like my head if Hannah and Luke lived in a house with me. That's crazy. That is fucking crazy. Hannah's crazy ass would have all of my panties all over the floor. This is absurd.
There is a point sometime in the season where she's like, she talks about her messy room. And she's like, I need hangers. And I'm like, did you move into a house without any hangers? Like,
I would not have
what's
thought
happening?
To
like,
rot.
Someone get her.
I would
just
not
someone
have
get her some hangers.
Yes, Amazon.
Can production
some,
just
go yeah,
get,
go get
to
me
Target.
Hangers.
Yeah.
I have one of those. I have one of those apartments, though, where it's just like, I don't know why, but there's not a place for anything. So everything has to be right here. And that's kind of what Sierra, like, but it also causes me panic. Like, whenever there's an aerial shot of Sierra's room, like, my chest starts to tighten. I really don't know what to do about it.
I think that it's, like, the The worst part about it for me is just the bed. Like, a lot of it is focused on her bed mm-hmm. that she also seems to sleep in while it's like has piles of stuff on it. And I think if she just brushed it all off her bed and had it on the floor, it wouldn't stress me out.
But
so
then
much.
She wouldn't know where anything is, like me. Like, it's so crazy. Like, honestly, like, whenever I put my clothes away, I don't know where anything is. And she's probably like that as well. Like, someone who's that comfortable moving around piles and papers is somebody who's been doing it and understands that chaos from experience.
Yeah, there's a method to the madness.
There's and no it way is like, she's that comfortable on TV. Like, this is filmed to go out to all of America. And she's that.
Some people are just messy. Like, right. They're just like messy people. Like they and they operate in piles. So she seems to be a piler.
Yes, she's a piler.
And we just have to accept that some people are pilers and they know what they're doing.
Thank God she has her own room. And I don't know, like, if she, like, her literal mess and Luke's emotional mess, I'm glad they're not actually hooking up because it would be a disaster.
And he does seem like oddly kind of like a clean guy. Like, there's a place for everything and everything in its place.
It's
so I feel
so
like they're just
weird.
Mismatched.
Yes. Like, I will say that as obnoxious as Luke can be, he seems raised well. Does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. he seems like his parents taught him what to do. You clean up after yourself. You can build this thing. You can make this fire. You can fend for yourself. If you live in, like, he looks like he was trained to be a functional adult, at least in those ways. So I can't imagine, like, him not getting vexed with Sierra's messy ass room when he's out here trying to neatly build rings or whatever jewelry he's welding. Who knows?
I like building jewelry. He is building it because he does not know really how to make jewelry. Exactly. I'm convinced of that.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. The stove is finally getting fixed, which I was happy to see. I'm happy for them, but I'm also just riveted by any stove drama. Like, I don't know why I give a shit about chore drama, but this show has now made me care.
It's so bizarre because it's hard to fathom. Like, think about it. Like, these people, I mean, half the cast is almost 40. Like, they're in a group home. Pushing 40. Like, they're entering their fifth decades of life and need to have a chore wheel. That is fucking fascinating. That is fascinating.
Yeah, that they, it, like, it's hard for them to clean up.
Yeah.
Like, when they take out the Lysol and rub down tables, it's like a concentrated effort.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I've certainly, as much as I just admitted to being, like, messy, with, like, you know, my room, I am very, like, picky about kitchens and bathrooms. And it's very interesting to, like, think about when that might have happened, because I don't know when I suddenly became, like, the bathroom and the kitchen have to be clean. I don't give a fuck. And so to see Lindsay and Kyle be that way, but then Amanda not, I'm like, when does the switch flick for you?
Yeah, I feel like it's like a in your 30s type of switch.
Yeah.
And it happened for me over quarantine where I was like, I cannot go to bed if there are dishes in the sink. Like, it has to just be part of the nightly routine.
Yeah, you're confronted with yourself in a way that you haven't been before. But I would think that being around other people also makes you confront yourself in a way that you haven't been before. But these people are not embarrassed. And that is astonishing to me. Again, my greatest fear is embarrassment, as I said before. And, like, it just blows my mind that, like, Paige, Sierra, and Hannah are like, yeah, that's okay. We're hot, so... it doesn't matter if people know I'm lazy. It would matter so much. I've got to be not lazy, but also still really hot. That can happen, you know? Like, Paige, make it happen. Sierra, make it happen, you know?
I love whenever it cuts to them just, like, on their phones in bed.
In
bed!
Because
I feel like it's happening more and more and more. Like, they're just laying in bed, scrolling.
Truly, Hannah and Paige in bed on their laptops watching, like, watching whatever reality show is.
Love Island.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit, they are me probably at that exact date and time. Like,
yeah,
that is me. That was what I was doing in July.
I like that they're allowed to do that on the show.
Yes.
I was wondering, like, do the producers say, like, you one night a week you're allowed to, like,
I mean,
watch
it would not
shows
be
on
fair.
Your computer?
It would not be fair to do that to them this year. I can imagine that's the case, like, on a normal summer where it's like there's activities that you can do outside or whatever. And it's like, I remember, like, the only time I remember seeing the TV on a reality show is, like, when 9/11 happened on The Real World, you know, like, that season mm-hmm. of Chicago or whatever. But, I mean, this seems like about as significant a moment to just let them have their electronics, you know?
Yeah. And I like seeing them watch Love Island. Like, I was comforted yes. by, like, that it's best, like, friend vibe.
Exactly. It's just like, you know, even though I haven't been next to anybody and I've been solo, like, I swear Love Island reconnected me with, like, a middle school friend. Like, it was just like, oh my god, I saw on Twitter that you're watching blah blah, blah. And now every time, like, Big Brother or, you know, like, Love Island, she even is like, are you checking out Married at First Sight? I've never watched Married at First Sight. I'm like, okay, I guess we're texting about Married at First Sight now, you know?
Yeah, you're bonding.
Yes, and it's like, it's reality TV is nice because it's like, here I am gossiping, but with no consequence. And so, like, it's really, really addicting. And I'm just like, yeah, even Hannah and Paige are tired of gossiping about the people in their house. Like, let's gossip about Justine and whatever.
Yeah, they are, like, just taking a load off. Though I did think the text that Paige sent to Kyle and, like, Amanda and everyone was insane.
Aggressive. Aggressive.
You can't do, like, you can't tell people, like, there are 10 people in this house, so you need to be, like, respectful.
And it's like, bitch, we know. There's 10 people, so don't have absurd expectations either. It's like,
also still light outside.
Yes, exactly. Here, it's like, you can also just pause it and watch later. Where do you have to go? Paige, what, you gotta go outside and take a picture? Like, what? Relax. Come on.
Plug your headphones in and then listen to it on there and get over it.
Exactly. Do we need to see, like, was Hulu gonna die? Like, I don't understand the need for it to happen at that moment. It was absurd.
I also am wondering who this psychic is that Paige and Hannah, quote unquote, sometimes talk to Instagram.
The same person who told Candace on Real Housewives of Potomac that Ashley's husband was at the hotel with the strippers. The psychic is the friend who's all a producer, essentially.
I love that psychic we talk to sometimes.
Psychic.
Who's literally just telling you gossip that is not.
No, it's literally got the equivalent of a DM from the National Enquirer and press their roommates about it. Like, this is absurd.
Well, psychics are supposed to tell you what happens in the future. They don't tell you gossip they heard about who your friend may or may not have fucked. I would not be going to this woman to do a reading.
Exactly. Like, that bitch is a liar.
And she's starting needless drama.
Yeah, seriously. Like, she could have told you to leave it alone so you could rest your head a little bit or something. Like, that's what somebody who can see would have told you. My goodness.
I love that she's like, the one who told me like Perry and I aren't meant to be. And then it's like, well, I could have told you that. I mean, like, I've always said that. And I was like, damn. Like,
but Perry also just
poor Perry.
Poor Perry. Like, I don't know why. Maybe he don't watch the show. Maybe he doesn't watch that show. And so that's why he doesn't know his girlfriend hates him. But his girlfriend hates him so much.
And he seems like a nice enough guy. Yeah. Like, he seems supportive. I mean, we don't know him.
We don't know him literally at all because she hates him so much. She doesn't introduce him to us for longer than 2 minutes at a time. It's absurd. It's absurd.
Look, she's like, thank you for the ride. Gotta go.
Exactly. And he seems like a perfectly handsome, perfectly nice guy. And she's just like, oh, I forgot I had a boyfriend.
Yeah, they photograph well together. So in my mind, I'm like, that's half the battle right there.
Like,
but
she doesn't want to call her boyfriend. She's just going to text sassily about Love Island. That seems absurd to me. You know.
I loved learning more about Sierra's past, but I was also like kind of sad for her that she had to like relive her daddy issues with the two women that have like great relationships with their dad.
Oh, well, I mean, like, it was also like weird because I don't have daddy issues to that degree. Obviously, like, my father did not disinvite me from it. That is absurd, you know?
Yeah.
But I could not believe that she is as old as she is and that issue is so close to the surface. Literally, the three-letter word dad made you sob instantly. Like, what the fuck? That is crazy! That is crazy!
I get that, though. I've had moments and, like, I've been through a lot of therapy or whatever, but, like, I've had moments where, like, if I am talking about my dad or, like, I would have a phone conversation with him and then hang up and be like, ugh.
Yes, like, but that so would mean, but that's, you. Even you just said that you were talking to your dad or talking about him. She literally heard something that sounded like dad. It wasn't even dad.
I miss my cat. You miss your dad?
And yes, and then... I was like, no, there's no way this is possible. There's no way this is possible. It's literally like what the right wing would like exaggerate about the need for trigger warnings is. Like, that's literally what Sierra did in that moment. I was just like, this is crazy. Like, I did not believe that that could have been possible. I was not.
Everything was heightened. I also love her just saying, like, I miss my cat. And then Paige or Amanda and Paige are like so well adjusted in that one specific area that it wouldn't be that it would be like, oh, you miss your dad, like us too. And then her being like, No, I don't miss my dad. Dad's a huge source of emotional trauma for me. And then being like, oh, but you're really pretty when you cry.
Yes, exactly. That was hilarious. I mean, okay, that's cold comfort, but I'll take it. Look, I would love to be a hot crier. Even Kim Kardashian can be a hot crier. So, you know.
I know. Sierra, like, she truly, she's the most gorgeous person, I think, to come through Summer House. And it's hard. It's a hot cast.
Like a very hot cast. Although, this season, Danielle's given me... I don't know what it is. She's using a new shampoo or something. She looks so good.
Her hair has never looked better.
She
looks so damn good. It's insane. Mm-hmm. And I love that she really doesn't have to do much except her actual job.
Yeah, she's like,
she's killing it out.
I keep calling her my favorite flop. Like, she's a beautiful bore. And I think that's also like why I'm not enjoying Sierra as much as maybe other people are. Because like, we already have a beautiful, boring person, and she already fits in with the group because she comes like as part of a Lindsay package. And so I guess for me, Sierra hasn't quite found her place yet because she's not like the right hand person to the psycho that needs a yin to their yang. She's just this like boring, pretty girl that like Hannah and Luke are triangulating around, but she's not even giving us enough to make that worth it.
Yeah, I do. I have enjoyed seeing her turn on Luke and just like shut him down. And I think I'm intrigued by that drama.
I don't know why it doesn't excite me. I think because to me, Hannah feels too predatory in that. You know what I mean? Like the minute,
like she's planted so many seeds.
Right, like the minute Sierra walked into the house and then Hannah was like so on her, I remember experiencing that when I was 17. And it's so funny because it was me, a black girl, and a white girl fighting over a guy, but the guy was black. And like, it was just like, I remember when that girl became obsessed with me and I returned the obsession. Like, we made out at our school's version of the prom, you know, because we both found out a boy was like cheating with us. And so like, yeah. Seeing Hannah like instantly glom on to Sierra kind of reminded me of that, so it made me instantly uncomfortable. So it didn't feel good to see Sierra kind of match Hannah's energy for me.
Yeah, I get that.
I'm bringing a lot of baggage to the scenario, obviously.
You know, everyone brings their own, everyone has a past, everyone has a story. But I just like, I think I just enjoy seeing Luke get shut down and his feelings get hurt over and over. So it really is more about that.
It feels very like, do you remember that stupid movie? God forgive me for bringing this up. Do you remember that movie with Ashanti when we were younger? It's like John Tucker Must Die or something like that.
Yes.
It's giving me very John Tucker Must Die energy.
Yeah. I like identifying like a male aggressor and then being like, we will destroy him. And then seeing that happen. Yeah, it is like a teen satiating my teen movie needs. But I think Sierra, like, I have faith that she will get to see more and that she'll bring it because she was cast on Winter House.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
but I'm also just not into the cast of Winter House at all, though, is the thing.
Really?
No.
Do you not watch Southern Charm?
I do watch Southern Charm. I'm not impressed by anybody on it.
You're like, that's why.
Yeah, okay. It's like, like, the worst thing you can do is give me more Austin. Why are you forcing Austin on me? You gave me extra Austin on last year's Summer House when I didn't fucking need it. I had a whole season. You brought J-Lo and A-Rod into Austin, and now we're getting Winter House. Leave me alone, Austin! Leave me alone. He's so boring. He's such nothing. But he's just everywhere. I don't get it. And like,
yeah, I haven't kept up, so I don't know. All I know is like Craig makes me cringe, so I feel like I would enjoy watching that.
Embarrassment is my biggest fear, and secondhand embarrassment, like literally, like my body would like fold in half if somebody is doing something uncomfortable on television. Like, I literally would like contort. And Craig is just my body finding different directions to bend, like a whole episode. Like, the whole not lying about passing the barb saga, like, really, really, really sent me into, like, I could have been on Vegas as a contortionist, like, that whole season. Like, poor Naomi. My God. It's making me so uncomfortable even thinking about it. Like, my skin is crawling.
And I love his legacy.
It's honestly
of being like a lawyer, like almost having a career and like a real career,
real
job. Mm-hmm.
Did you see the Instagram post though? He is opening his own law firm. Did you see that?
Did he ever pass the bar?
Well, he told us in this Instagram video that he has passed the bar and he's been in good standing since 2014. I don't know when that happened. But he said that he's been in good standing and he did like a brief Instagram tour of on like a post on Main, like on the feed, showing us the office. It was lightly furnished and he was talking about like he was like, I mean, Craig is selling. He's like, oh, no, I still have my pillows, but I'm also opening a law firm. And it's called the Conover Law Firm. And I'm just like, all right, if you say so.
What kind of law does he practice?
He didn't specify to my like to my knowledge. I don't remember if he said he said that they were going to help people who couldn't afford help. And I was just like, I don't know what that means. In for you guys, I don't know what that means in South Carolina. Like, I don't know what any of that means. Like, I don't know what the cost of living in South Carolina is. Like, I have no idea who can afford your law firm.
People who can't afford legal help
need Craig.
They don't need Craig to be the person. It's like you're actually not really doing them that much of a favor.
Exactly. Pro bono from Craig Conover. Keep it. I will pay everything to avoid Craig Conover as my attorney. Get the hell
it's like out of here. You are going directly to jail. Like, even if as soon as Craig steps in the room, like, I can't imagine he has like a good relationship with judges.
No, like, does he look like a person who has anything useful to say to anyone in a position of authority? Absolutely not. I would never want Craig to negotiate a fucking thing, anything. I don't need him to negotiate my McDonald's order, not like a, like a contract, nothing.
I'd feel comfortable with him, like, if he was working for like LegalZoom or something. Where it's like,
no, I do not even want him.
With, like, a guarantee.
No, I do not even want his customer service on legal information. Like, I don't need you to read me any scripts from the customer service center. Nothing, Craig, and legal anything. The only thing legal and Craig should go together is that he has a legal guardian taking care of things for him. Like, I do not need Craig. And legal doing anything. No.
The Conover Law Firm.
No.
I love being like, well, guys, we all know that I did not pass the bar exam, but lied about it. But now.
Now believe me that I've been in good standing.
Now that you have no faith in me as someone who can do this job,
but
I'm pleased to announce
myself,
that I've
I've proven myself as my own a pattern firm. Maker. Like, who the hell are you weirdo? And you're
not even like working at someone else's law firm just to like get a sense
No, he created one because he sold enough pillows. Like, that is absolutely absurd. I don't get what is happening.
Wow. And then also, what if you had a lawyer and you knew that sometimes your lawyer wouldn't be available to talk because he's off filming Winterhouse?
With Austin Kroll!
So, like, in 6 weeks, he'll get back to you, Your Honor. But right now, he's actually filming a show
no,
in Vermont.
Honestly, like, oh, my lawyer is off being a misogynist in defense of his cuck friend for 6 weeks on camera. Like, fuck, no.
No, you're screwed. You can't do that. I'm crying at the thought. Lindsay falls down the stairs, which I also cried at. Only her, she is the only person that can fall down the stairs, get up and dust herself off and just like keep going.
Right.
Because that's not even the peak of her insanity in this episode.
It's really funny to me because I think it is crazy to me that after 5 years, she's still so unpredictable because I don't know what's going to derail her and what she's just going to dust off. Like, I did not expect for her to dust off her boyfriend leaving on her birthday and falling down the stairs in one episode. Like how? How?
It's the true how, because then she wakes up the next day. Also, at one point, I'm unclear on what her and Stravi's back and forth have been because it seems like the day after he leaves, she opens the door and she's like, oh my God, sunflowers for me. And the note was like, here's to new beginnings. So I'm like, what are you guys talking about?
I don't know. I've just decided that like anybody in situations like this is just they have good pussy. And as a person who's only mediocre in bed, I don't know what kind of conversations women with good pussy have with men. Like, because there are things, there are connections I don't understand. There are conversations and engagements that I don't know and understand. Because there is no amount of like, you know, dick sucking or dick riding that I could do that could convince a man to make me a PowerPoint. Like, I don't have good pussy. Like, that is just an existence that is not mine, you know? So I don't know what they're saying. No one's ever, like, brought me fish and chips and a painting and then, like, left the house but then still wanted to deal with me after I, like, humiliated him on TV. There's just things that I don't understand as a woman with average vagina. That's it.
Yeah, Lindsay has her ways. That PowerPoint blew my mind.
And he did it. He did it and sent it. He didn't just do it. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, they had a conversation. He was like, okay, I am going to take this homework assignment and make my girlfriend a whole slideshow. Like, he did it. Like, he did it. She punked him, and then he was punked. That is what's crazy to me. Like,
her saying, because you know she's over it by the time that she's like, I think you need to think about what my needs are and what your needs are. Like, once she goes into, like, corporate speak with him, I was like, it's over.
She then does not respect you. But to be like, oh, this girl who to allow myself to be disrespectful, your girlfriend gave you, she humiliated, she like, you tried to do a decent gesture for her, it didn't meet her standards, but at least you put in effort. She disrespected you wildly on national television and then you left because you had some dignity, right? But then you come crawling back with homework. This is crazy. I don't understand what good pussy is like, because no one has ever let me humiliate them publicly and then come and did homework for me. Are you crazy?
And I love her response to the PowerPoint with Danielle was like, I'm at a loss. I don't know what to say. And Lindsay goes, honestly, I think he needed to do this in order to figure out how a relationship works. So she's like, I know that I won't be with this person, but I think it's really good that he did.
Yes,
that.
It was very
just a true bitch move.
It was the opposite of ring the alarm, Beyonce, because Beyonce is like, I am not making you better for the next bitch. And Lindsay's like, glad to have upgraded you. Thank you. And I'm just like, that is crazy to me. That is
like
crazy.
She would allow Steven to put her as like a reference.
Yes,
on his...
she was like, "Yes, I made him a man." Like, she would have just I'm just not putting in that effort for someone to reap the benefits. But God bless you.
I know. And Danielle, I like her like sum up of the whole their relationship dynamic. She goes, "It's going to continuously be a project. You're going to have to manage."
Yes, but I think Lindsay likes a project. I think Lindsay thinks she doesn't want a project. Like, Lindsay tells us that she wants to be the project, but she absolutely does not want to be the project, because Lindsay would not want constant focus on her. Like, the scrutiny wouldn't be pleasant. She needs to express control or dominance someplace.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like she also just straight up has no idea what she actually wants.
Oh, I think that's very true, too.
Yeah, it's easy for her to put it like a write a timeline down and be like, this is just what people do who are in my situation and in my age range. But clearly watching her with Steven, I'm like, you say one, you want one thing 1 second, but then he leaves and you flip the fuck out. And then like he does what you want him to do, but you don't like it. So
I think
but
she I enjoy watching that. I think if Carl had wanted to be decent to her, they'd still be together. I'm confident.
I love Carl.
It's such a shame that like it makes me so mad because I don't know what it is in me that is comfortably being like gross, Luke, and then having watched Carl for 4 years be like, but he's so cute this season.
So
he looks so good. He looks so good. First of all, like Carl was already a problem for me because I love a tall, dark-haired terrorist. It's just what's going to happen. You're going to have broad shoulders and you're tall and you're relatively fit and you are emo while being arrogant. I'm just going to be into it. And it's like he gets more arrogant and terroristic as he gets more popular and like sought after and he gets worse and worse and I'm more and more attracted. And then he like pretends to be a good guy this season. I'm like, yeah, I buy it too. Like, there's never gonna be a thing.
I bought it hook, line, and sinker.
There's never gonna be a time I'm not attracted to Carl, and I don't know why that is, and it's so embarrassing because I'm like, I told myself, I'm like, after 2020, it's a pandemic. Like, we're not doing emotional toxicity, like, whatever. And here I am lusting after a dude who's now, like, every season he used divorce to be the reason he terrorizes women, and you give him like sobriety and a brother who dies in the middle of the summer, like I am going to be his, like I'm putty in his hands and he's a person who doesn't even know exists. Like, it's crazy. But
no, it's unhealthy, but I'm right there with you.
It's and I'm sure that Lindsay as well feels the same way that we do.
Yeah. Did they ever have sex, or was it just,
I don't think, I don't think they had sex because I think Carl knew not to do that.
You activate, like, Lindsay was already like wild to him just with fingering alone activated her.
Yes, exactly.
But sex does unleash like a new thing, and it might have actually sucked him more into
because like we just discussed, good pussy.
Yeah.
Carl might have been in deep trouble if him and Lindsay fucked, I think.
Maybe they will be like the ones who end up together ultimately.
I mean, it could be, you know what I mean? Like, I mean,
though I don't think so. I think that if anyone was going to end up together, it would be Carl and Paige.
I don't think so. I think she
really,
I mean, I think it's one of those things that we all think is inevitable, but it's actually not inevitable at all, because if it were inevitable, it would have happened already. Mm-hmm. Carl is not the kind of person who's going to ignore chemistry. Like, we already see him plotting on Sierra. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I don't think it's actually there. I think Paige is a very pretty girl and Carl's very good looking and they look like they're match. They're like opposite in height and they're brunette and like dark hair. They look like they match, you know, but I don't know. They don't seem to have like chemistry. She feels very childish. He's immature too, but it's like a very different thing. He's still a man, even if he's like emotionally stunted. She is, to me, literally very childish. Like,
yeah, she is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he feels more manly this season. Like, literally, he does. He talk about like rewarding someone for doing the bare minimum.
Yes.
Carl's like, let's order food. What do you want? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm wet.
No, like, seriously. Like, do you remember that episode where everybody's like, Carl's in charge or whatever, right? I like was like instantly, I don't know why it stuck, but my brain went, fuck Scott Baio. Carl's in charge. And like, I just put him in there. Take care of the whole family. You're the greatest star of the 80s. Why? He did nothing. he just
got on Postmates. Like,
exactly. And production probably did that.
I'm just so into him. It's a spell. I'm like, I can never meet this person exactly. Because I would just like, and truly, there's nothing, like my standards would drop.
No, honestly, I
beyond
would,
low.
I would humiliate myself for Carl. I mm-hmm. think it's like no good. It's no good.
And he knows that too about, oh, absolutely. Like he knows what he's doing.
There's like,
but I don't begrudge him for it.
It's like men like that too. Carl doesn't go after like a meek girl to do these things, right? Either. Like he does pursue a Lindsay. He does pursue a Workus. Like he does pursue like a woman who wasn't paying him any attention, was confident in doing her own thing, and he came and destroyed her life and then walked away. Like it's gonna be a Sierra, right? He's not gonna pick a Jules. It's always gonna be a Sierra. It's always gonna be a Lindsay. It's always gonna be like a woman who's like fine as hell, minding her business, and he's gonna go interrupt her life and like make a dope chick like a sucker. It sucks, but it's like, I get it. It will work on me too.
God, I hope that Sierra, I'm intrigued to see what happens.
I want to see
that
it.
She doesn't.
Oh my God, honestly, I would, if Carl hadn't just lost his brother, I would love that storyline. If Carl wasn't like, I love chaotic Carl, but it can't be grieving chaotic Carl. Like, I want it to be like, if Carl last year was destroying Luke and Sierra, I'd be all in. But it can't be, oh, I just came home from my brother's funeral, let me fuck Sierra. It's like, oh man, I can't do that, you know.
I know, it doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. I hope that she, like, I'm down for them to maybe have like a make out and then her to be like, not for me, thanks anyways. But like beyond that is gonna edge into dark territory.
It's like the only reason Carl's darkness works is because it's not too dark. But here we have like, you're trying to work on your own probable alcoholism, or definitely your like dependent relationship on the substance, and like, and your sibling died of it, and you went to the funeral and came back, in my opinion, too early to record a TV show. Like, I don't need you to enter any kind of emotionally fraught situations right now.
Yeah, I'm like, it's so, it feels like I have to remind myself that just happened to him.
Yeah, and like,
the more episodes I watch.
And it's like, I mean, obviously we're kind of jumping ahead, but like, when he returns, like, I remember quarantine needing to be 2 weeks before you can go back to be with other people. But that's certainly not what happened on the show. It seems like they left him in his room until his test results came back for like a day and a half, right? So like, he's really fresh out off of that funeral.
Mm-hmm. And like, he didn't, it seemed like he was still opening the door of his room to like talk to people in the hallway. So it wasn't like that strict of a quarantine.
No. So there's I mean, I'm happy he didn't leave for good for the summer, but he certainly, in my opinion, shouldn't be there. Like, if this was a show concerned with his mental health, he wouldn't be there, you know.
Yeah, Bravo loves to like invite people to like film who have just had like horrific deaths in their
season 2 of Beverly Hills.
Yeah. They're like, and how do you feel about that?
I was like, we're just gonna have the aftermath of a whole suicide on this second season of a show.
We certainly are.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
They have a club day, which I enjoy. I enjoy seeing them trying to like make the best out of the situation, because I think that you can tell they don't exactly want to do it, but they're like, okay, we'll play ball. Like, we'll blow up.
Do you know
things.
What it feels like? Do you remember, like, were you a Jersey Shore fan at all?
Was I a Jersey Shore fan? I was, and Florida, such a Jersey
Bama,
Shore fan.
Still watching the reunion. That,
I haven't watched Floribama, but
so good. Get into it. So good. Get into it. But not like good. It's not good in the Jersey Shore way. It's good in the like Summer House way, where it's just like, oh, this is just mess. Like Jersey Shore was like, oh, we learned different kinds of people. We were introduced to like a genre, like cracking.
Like a culture.
Yes. Like,
yeah.
Flora Bamberger is not like that. It's just like some maybe racist people in a house with some of their friends, you know. That's my that's my editorializing. Some other people will experience it differently. But like, it's fun. And they're very young and crazy and it's delightful. But like, I'm enjoying like Summer House in this way where it's just like just a bunch of nut jobs in a place that they shouldn't be together being nut jobs. Like, it's totally working for me in that it's like, here's this irresponsible thing we're doing and we're just letting it happen. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. We'll build this outdoor club.
Yeah.
And like,
oh,
sit
that
around.
Was why I mentioned that. It's like on those shows, unlike on Bravo until the pandemic, on MTV, like with Jersey Shore and Floribama, it's like, okay, there are going to be two segments of each episode dedicated to a silly activity that the producers have clearly forced the cast to do because there's nothing else to do during filming. And so, like, I, for some reason, have found that adorable this season on Summer House. Like, they did a restaurant inside the house for Kyle and Amanda.
That was cute.
And for some reason, I thought it was so cute. And sometimes on Jersey Shore and Floribama, that I enjoyed that. That was why I mentioned that. I had forgot while I was talking.
It does sound like the Jersey Shore, like from when I used to watch it or whatever, mm-hmm. like their activities and family dinners and stuff. My favorite, Lindsay is truly, she's like the queen of physical comedy because when she fell out of her chair, like, and Hannah got up, I was just like cackling.
But I was like, what, how? And she's not, it's so weird because does she look like or carry herself as someone uncoordinated? Not even a little bit.
Yeah, I think she was just like really still reeling from the Stravi stuff and it really came out in physical ways.
Yeah.
And then I love that she just tells everyone about the PowerPoint and like she does like a tour of telling everyone, getting them up to date on where she's at in the situation with Stravi. Because later she's like talking to Carl, like yelling at him down the hallway about being like, and I'm just in the decision-making process right now and like really weighing my options and seeing how I feel.
This is another situation where I'm surprised by Lindsay's reaction. Like, how is she friends with Carl? And not like, oh, friends, we tolerate each other so we can still be on the show. Like, they are in a real friendship.
They're really good friends.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. Like, there's no way that I would have seen the way that, I can't even remember which Workus twin he was with, but there's no way that I would have seen how things played out with the Workus twin and been Lindsay and expected Lindsay to then go on to date Carl in their way and have an ability to get over it. I would have thought she would have taken it like twice as personal, been like upset with herself for falling for it after having seen it happen so many times. But she just like moved on very quickly and like doesn't seem to be like still carrying a torch for him or anything.
Yeah, not like hung up on it. Like, I wouldn't even be able to like look Carl in the eye.
No, again. Absolutely not. But she's just like, whatever. Talk to him about Stravi. That's so crazy.
She's a strong woman.
Yeah.
Then Kyle and Amanda get into it. Or no, Kyle and Hannah get into it again. And I'm just like, Hannah, like, you're digging your own grave right now. Because she also does my least favorite thing where someone's just like, I can't. And like gets up and walks away and like leaves a situation where I'm like, because you're only doing that because you actually
you're losing.
Know you're wrong.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, the thing is like, girl, what are you fighting for? You're truly fighting for the right to be dirty and then insult your friend when called out for being dirty. Like, this is what you're fighting for. Like, I know Kyle can be aggressive and I don't necessarily like his tone all the time. He is condescending and it's clear to me he already dislikes Hannah. I don't care what anyone says. So he's like bringing a level of intense to the conversations that probably don't need to be like there immediately. But like, Hannah, you're literally like trying to prove it's okay to be a slob who low blows her friends,
her quote-unquote best friend that she cares so much about.
And then when someone tells you that's indecent, you bring up your daddy. Like, that's so weird. Like, I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, like, I understand where my, like, issues come from and, like, how it relates and how I get triggered, but it's not, like, you don't use that as your go-to every time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I recently just started to, like, really push the idea that, like, trauma is context. It's not the excuse, or it's not, like, you know, like, a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's a card. It's, like... Here is why Hannah might bring this to an argument. It's not why Hannah gets to get away with stuff. And it's very frustrating to see her bring it as, like, it's a defense. Like she's presenting this as, like, stand your ground defense. And I'm just like, no, you are wrong. Pain. This is not Castle Doctrine. Take out the fucking trash, Hannah.
And the trash remains at all times. Like, I literally at one point thought she was going
to take it.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, she's finally going to take out the trash, and then just walks by it and then to go get, like, food.
To do reality TV in general is already insane. So I can't put myself in the mind frame, but there's literally no way I would let all of America call me a slob. Like, I would not give them permission. We wouldn't be arguing this point. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it would not happen. The only other question I have is, like, have you ever seen this game that they play where you throw wood blocks at other wood blocks?
No, I've never seen such a thing. But I've also never been stuck in a house with other people and had to make up things to do. So
I think that seemed like a game that, like, Luke has played a lot.
I mean, he's,
like,
also,
he was
from...
like, let's play... Yeah, he's like, let's play blocks. And then, like, I've seen cornhole. I'm very familiar with cornhole. And, like, bocce ball and stuff. But I've never seen block throwing.
Yes, but, like, he's a lumberjack.
But I liked it.
you know, he's a lumberjack who's, like, coming up with his personality every 2 minutes. He's made up blocks or some shit. I don't know.
I've enjoyed blocks, and I liked seeing one hit Kyle in the dick. But I'm also just like...
What are we doing?
Anything can be a game, I guess. You just are throwing stuff at other stuff.
Yeah. All you've just got to do is, like, get 6 drunk people to look somewhat enthusiastic doing something, and it's a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess I'll be on board with it. It's the cost of Summer House. My standards are very low when it comes to them entertaining
and
me.
I'm just so grateful for content. Do you remember, like, at the beginning of... the last year where, like, or the beginning of the summer where, like, there was a drought on Bravo. Like, there was, like, some of our shows were delayed, whatever. Like, Potomac took so long to come around. Like, you know, even Atlanta. So I'm just like, give me anybody on Bravo doing anything. I'll take it.
Yeah. It was a hard... Bravo took a real hit in the summertime. And then we also had the added news of, like, the whole Vanderpump Empire, like, crumbling.
So, they're, like, still
unceremoniously
unraveling.
It's still unraveling. Like, and we don't even get the pleasure of seeing it unravel in, like, real time.
I mean, I remain an LVP stan, much to my, like, embarrassment.
Wow, much to my amazement.
Yes, but do I want to see the fall? Yeah, like, you don't create such a big character, like, one that is so, like, untoppable that she'd rather run away from a TV show than be exposed to have been bad one time. And you don't get me to, like, you don't let me watch the downfall of someone who, like, is that protective of their image. I deserve it. And I know that Erica Jane ain't gonna give me shit when I'm expecting shit. So, like, I at least give me Lisa. You know what I mean? If you're not gonna, like, Erica Jane's been giving us nothing, so, like, her downfall or her cracking won't be as fun. But, like, Lisa Vanderpump has been in the mud pretending she wasn't in the mud the whole time. Like, I deserve that downfall. We all do.
I know. And she's still, like, she's managed to even...
Get a new show!
Like, I think she's so... Get 3 new shows! And I'm like, how does she do it? She knows like where the bodies are buried. Because I'm like,
seriously, she was just on Watch What Happens Live talking mad shit about Dorit and I think Erika Jane. And I'm like, bitch, didn't they just say you don't pay taxes on your restaurant? You're talking very confidently right now.
Yeah, literally had a random Ferrari crashed into your restaurant last year and the guy miraculously got away on the same day that Vanderpump Rules was premiered. I'm like, you're so full of fucking shit.
Like, insurance fraud out the wazoo right there. Like, allegedly, don't sue me.
Allegedly.
I was just like, I would not talk so spicy on Watch What Happens Live if they shut down my restaurant because I didn't pay staff. I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I just have faith that the downfall will happen, and when it does, it will be glorious.
But I'm very typically American in that I want the downfall so I can see the rising from the ashes. It's very God forgive me. It's very Britney Spears. Like, we all were like, yeah, Britney's losing it. But now we see a documentary and the rest of us is like, triumph, beat your daddy. Mm-hmm. And I think that's I think that's what's going to happen with LVP. Not that, Britney's mental health issues are the same as LVP's fraudulent finances, but everybody likes a rise and fall and rise again story. And I'm expecting one for LVP.
Yeah, I think it could. I feel like it would be more along the lines of a OJ rise and fall, where it was you fall and then somehow you
stick around.
You get through it, but then you stick around, but then you go to jail for something else, and it's all tainted.
Nobody wants it.
It's very weird and sad, but you're still doing your thing.
Yeah. But I am attracted. I don't know. There's something about I don't know why. I will fall in deep love with a villainess and stick with her and then fully loathe another one. I don't know why Kenya Moore is okay to me, but Monique wasn't this past season of Patrol. I have no idea why that is the way it is. And I don't know why I don't mind LVP, but I can't stand Lisa Rinna. I can't tell you. I don't know why I can't stand Hannah, but I love Lindsay. It's just if you're going to be a bad woman, I need you to do it Lisa Rinna and LVP are the exact opposites, actually, in the way that I usually process things, because Lisa Rinna is very much like, I did this horrible thing to my friend for a TV show and it is what it is. And usually I like when you own it, but on something about Denise and Rinna didn't work for me. And Lisa Vanderpump never owns it, but for some reason it worked for me. And that's usually the exact opposite. I don't know why these things are the way they are.
Well, that's a fascinating thing. You get to look inside and see.
I know.
And see what you make of
it. It's so absurd to ascribe such importance to these scenarios that are obviously fake and producer driven or whatever. But I really am learning a lot about humanity and myself, because I said at the top when we were talking about New York, I would never encounter people like this. I on purpose dropped out of college and never encountered people like Kyle Cook ever again on purpose. And to see a guy like Kyle Cook now, while I'm older than I was before, it's so fascinating to me. And I love what it reveals about me that I haven't let attraction to men like Carl go.
Yeah. If anything, watching these shows will really shine a light in the darkest of inner places.
what about me is charmed by Carl? That is sick. Get a grip. I've seen him terrorize women. I call myself a feminist. I saw what he did to people for 4 years. And I'm just wow, Carl's in charge.
I'm love him. Yeah. He's grown so much. It's amazing.
What is he doing differently than Austin? I don't know. Nothing. Who knows?
I don't know.
Nothing. What is
just
he?
Just has dark hair.
Yeah. That's it.
Cute eyes.
Yes, he is.
And thick legs.
And oh my God. And the hairiest, sexy
the
chest.
Legs. The legs. Oh, and so
and
hairy.
And Carl's booty this season. Carl is thick this season.
He is. He is. I've noticed.
Okay. His skin
there's
is
extra
glowing.
The camera lingers on
his
him a little bit longer
his
when
butt.
He's walking
yes,
away.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. They're doing it. They know exactly what
he's
they're doing.
His butt is it's not quite Chris Maloney, Elliot Stabler, but he's giving me some juiciness. And I'm like, I'm liking this, you know? And he's wearing tight pants. You know, Carl loves himself, like a white short that's a little too short.
They cling to all the right places. Yeah, it's great.
So embarrassing.
I feel like there was like a few years ago, there was like a baseball team where they were doing like, I think they were doing like Instagram videos, but it was like white boys like shaking their butts to like gas pedal. And it truly, that came back to me like viscerally, like in, when I was like working out and that song came on, I was remembering that. And I think it's directly linked to like Carl because he has like the same ass. The same as ass.
He does have a baseball butt. Like if Carl were a pitcher, I would totally believe it. Like if Carl looks like a tall, nice booty, like he looks like he would wear like white pants and that his butt would look great in them, like in white like or gray kind of pants with some slack in them while he's like pitching. You know, pitchers are always tall too.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Well, now I have masturbation material for the rest of the night.
Me too.
Thank
me
you
too.
So much for that. Thank you, Ray, for coming on the pod.
This has been so fun.
It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, you're great. This was fun.
Tell everyone where they can find you.
Well, I just deactivated Twitter. I don't know what I'm going through.
Oh my God. Okay. I love that. I love that. Yeah. Everyone should deactivate. Get off social media. No, it's bad for your mental health.
I've been trying to deactivate. Like, it's so crazy. Like, I think for the last 6 months, I'll just get really, really high. Like, I'll take an edible and suddenly be so embarrassed about the last 10 years of my social media presence and, like, just be like, we've got to deactivate immediately. So it's like every time I just get an order from Grassdoor, I'll deactivate. So you won't find me on Twitter until I come down, but I'm on Instagram at rawfizzle87, and you can find my podcast on the HeadGum Network, The Cast with Ray and Jackies.
Well, thank you for doing the Lord's work, talking about the most important people in reality history, and thank you for being on the pod.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a blast, and like, thanks for not being weirded out, and for also, you know, having your pod and like your indulging of this like frivolous thing that we take too seriously.
It gives me reason to live, and is actually like, these shows have helped me through hard times.
Yeah,
I love to talk about it, and I love to talk about it with other people who care as much as I do.
This is great. Thank you.
Until next time, guys, love and light.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.